Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Razzle.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here as well. And you know why I'm happy to be here?
Because
today's episode is brought to you by the month of December. When you think, hey, is it Christmas? Yes, it is. It's December.
It's December. It's December. Wake me up when December ends. Is that how that song goes?
Yeah. Wake me up when December ends because I'm tired of this November rain after that October sky.
Ooh.
And the hunt for September, Jackson.
The hunt for red September.
I feel like I know this is a September movie, but I can't think of it. Anyway. The November Man starring Pierce Brosnan came out 1 year ago today.
It did.
No, it did not. But it's a movie. Guys, we get a terrific show for you today. I think you're going to dig this guy. You've seen him on Stargate Universe. You've seen him
on Ugly Betty.
You've heard his dulcet tones on his podcast, Out of the Blue, on Geek Nation. And now you're going to hear him right here in studio with us.
Yeah.
Chatting, gabbing, getting. We're not going to tell you what he gets.
We'll find out very soon. No, but it gets, a little wubba-lubba-dub-dub.
Yeah, let's say...
Never hurt anybody.
Let's see. We get, things swiftly escalate.
This was a fun episode.
I had a good time.
There was a lot of funny comments, funny chats, and there were some good facts.
Yeah, finally, some super good facts.
Some sweet facts and some sweet riffs.
Yeah. What more could you ask for?
It's like a riff zone of facts.
And you know what? Don't ask for that.
You have not earned the right to ask for more. The facts and the furious. No.
We just had Thanksgiving while ago. You got to be thankful.
You
ever forget to be thankful?
Look, it's a free show and you got some facts and some fun things.
It's a free country. It's a free show.
Hey, be thankful, guys.
Thanks, Obama, for the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Obama, for everything.
Hey, Obama. Are you listening? Did you download this episode? Is this the one you chose to jump on for? Do something about gun control.
Sorry we couldn't have you on our podcast last week.
Sorry that you got caught in the line at Coffee Bean again.
Oh, Obama, we'll get you on sometime. It's just we have to keep bumping you for other guests.
I know.
That I would rather sit down with.
We like Jai Courtney.
Hey, Jai, do our show.
Yeah, and be better.
I'm going to email his publicist.
Oh, sorry. Be better about responding to our emails.
And get him on the
show.
No, that's fine. They won't listen to our show.
Yeah.
I could tell the publicist that we have a podcast dedicated to him and they wouldn't listen and he'd be on it probably.
Yeah. Welcome to Jai Can't Believe It's Not Courtney.
The only podcast Jai Courtney would be on is a sequel and remake to a more successful podcast.
Welcome to WTF Genesis.
What's the fifth Die Hard 5? What was that called?
A good day to who charted.
A good day to how did this get made?
It's always a good day for that.
I love Jack.
But we're not here to talk about the Wolf Pop Network. We're here to talk about the Us Pop Network.
Yes.
Guys, we got a great show for you today. Let's kick it off, shall we?
Let's kick it off.
Without further ado, today we learned number 114 with David Blue.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Random question. Who here watches Rick and Morty?
I love that show.
Love it. I hadn't seen it. Stash Rick made me start watching it. And I guess that's good. No, I don't want to have this be the thing I talk about.
We can talk about it.
We can get Schwifty.
What is Schwifty?
Getting Schwifty?
Yes.
It's when you take off your pants and your panties and take a shit on the floor. That's the precursor to getting Schwifty. It's more of a state of mind.
However, he doesn't technically define that in the episode.
No, it's more that sort of ephemeral, difficult to define state of being. After you've removed your pants or your panties and taken shit
on
the floor.
Well, here's the problem.
It's the precursor to Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Yeah.
It's just because
that's
it was such
the way
a fun song.
The news goes.
To me, it was just a silly word and a fun song.
Yeah.
Are we recording? We're not recording, are we?
I mean, we are.
Oh, we are? Recording. Then I probably shouldn't tell this story.
No, tell this story.
It's going to be part of it?
Yeah, it can be.
No, I don't want that. Wait, this whole thing has been. Oh, God. You always tell me when to start. So, hello. My name is David Blue, and I'm a very good, well balanced human being.
Do you really want to hear this? I was shitting on the floor the other day.
We can cut this out if you want.
Let me see where this goes.
Sure. Let's just make notes in case we need to.
He's not doing anything. He's saying make notes. He hasn't moved.
It's because he wants to hear the story.
I created a group of people to explore LA, because every time I live in a city, you never see a lot of this stuff.
Good idea.
You
know? I want to be in on this. I've just seen the photos of the bookstore, and yes. I've never been. And
yeah,
I always,
exactly.
Everybody posts photos of this bookstore.
Well, there was a list that BuzzFeed posted of 18 things in LA that most people haven't gone to, and I was like, you know, we should make this a thing.
Yeah.
So I created a group of people who were all interested, and we're like, let's do one every couple of weeks or something. And we were able to knock out two today. And as we were sitting there, I was like, we need to come up with a hashtag for this, because I want to be able to search the photos and the mm-hmm. tweets. And we couldn't think. I was thinking of also, I was like, Balls Deep in LA? No. I called it Adventure Time LA, but I'm like, everyone's going to think it's something related to the cartoon.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just make it something silly. I love that song, so I made it Schwifty LA. But now, after hearing what the exact definition is, I'm like, this sounds really debaucherous, but we're just adventuring around new places.
You're just going to new places, taking a shit on the
exactly,
floor.
Exactly, yeah. You guys, the Schwifty group's coming. Lock the doors.
How do you spell it? Schwifty?
S-C-H.
Getting S-C-H-W-I-F-T-Y. According to Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, but Urban Dictionary is
getting Schwifty is getting crazy horny at parties and or clubs, usually while extremely high. Typically involves taking off your pants and your panties.
But Urban Dictionary is like the Wikipedia of BS. Like anyone can post that. So I feel like, to me, watching the episode... Schwifty is just a silly nonsense word that fit into the song. It's like OPP.
Yeah.
To us, we're like, you done with OPP? We had no idea what it meant.
Yeah, get Schwifty.
It's like, what does Rick say? What does Rick say? Nobody exists on purpose. We're all an accident. Everybody's
no one
going
gets
to
Schwifty on purpose. Yeah. It just kind of happens.
So to me, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's an adventure group. That's all it is.
Well,
it sounds dirty.
It's a beautiful interpretation
of a
filthy, debaucherous term.
All day I've been posting with this hashtag, and I'm like, and then somebody texted me from the group, and they're like, did you look it up? And I'm like, it's a fun song. They're like, look it up. And I'm like, maybe we should change it.
No, you should. You
like,
should.
Hey, Coke Fiend LA. Like, that's a cool hashtag, right?
What's I'm just gonna,
blown
just
out of our minds.
Hashtag LA Finger Blast. That seems fun.
Hashtag
Finger
Blast in
Los Angeles.
Finger Blast. All over Los Angeles' face. That's too long. It's too long.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you hear is none other than... Quick Google it. Yeah. You've seen him in lots of things. You've seen him on Ugly Betty and Stargate. One of the Stargates.
Nice.
I can't remember that.
Good cover. Good cover.
I just remember we were discussing it when we met the other day. You're also a writer and host of Out of the Blue podcast on Geek Nation.
Woo.
Mr. David Blue, ladies and gentlemen, founder of Schwifty LA.
Founder of the revolutionary hashtag Schwifty LA, sweeping the nation. And it was Stargate Universe, I believe.
It was. Thank you.
Yes.
I wonder how many people are like watching the hashtag looking for the last photo when things get crazy. Like, wait, this is all just architecture.
You almost need to do that like almost... just for people who are searching it.
Yeah.
It's like always take like one or two of like after like, oh, hey, we're at this bookstore. Here's another one at the bookstore. And then like stage one with books everywhere and like people half naked on the ground.
Had we not been banned from it for life, I would. However, the first hashtag I was going to use, oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to remember it now.
Did you get banned from it?
No. But the first hashtag, as we were standing outside the Bradbury building, which is the one they used in Blade Runner, I was like, what should we
That's
use
in Los
hashtag?
Feliz, right?
No, downtown. That's
okay,
how we
well,
were
there's
able
also
to go
a Blade
to...
Runner building in Los Feliz.
There's two of them in Los
yeah.
Angeles?
His
Am
house
I really
or
far away from the mic?
Maybe, I think it might be his house or whatever with the as a like a as in Los
really?
Feliz.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, okay, that's added to the list. This list is just getting longer every time I see something. Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah, the Ennis house in
yes.
Los Feliz.
Yes.
You Googled that just now,
didn't
you?
I did.
Everyone here thinks you're really, really smart, but they don't know.
It was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright and for Charles and Abel Ennis in 1923.
Yeah.
You guys don't know this?
That's amazing. That's amazing. And the footnote for that is...
Yeah. It's got 20,000 blah, 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 square feet.
I came up with a hashtag that I'm actually kind of glad I can't remember because everybody else will look it up. Yeah. But I was like, I wanted to see if anyone else had used it because it would make it hard to look up. And I looked it up and the first thing that popped up was a video of a all-male gangbang.
Love it.
And I'm like, so not that hashtag. Like, hey, you want to see what we were up to today? Look up this hashtag. Dave.
Follow our adventures. We got a big group together. Yeah,
that devolved quickly.
For some fun.
Or evolved quickly, depending on your point of view.
Started as just a bang. Now there's a gang.
Oh, started as a bang. That's something that should exist.
Started as a bang. The Big Bang Theory.
I feel like that's a...
The Big Bang Theory.
Started as a bang should be a post-porn podcast. Like
yeah.
after a scene called Started with a Bang, and you talk to them about the scene they just filmed.
The commentary, the director's commentary.
Do they have commentary? Commentary?
I hope so. So what were you thinking here? Well, I was trying to find ways to enhance the mise-en-scene of this scene.
Oh, God, I hope someone has ever said that on porn.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
I accidentally auditioned for porn once.
Was it like a sci-fi porn or was it just a normal
How dare
porn?
You? No, it was the beginning of my career. First, living in L.A., I just submitted myself for like an Actors Access audition, and it was in Chatsworth, and I should have known. But I drove down there, and the script was terrible, but
Stargate
as an actor...
Stargate Pooniverse.
Yeah. Some of those porn parodies are fantastic.
You say Stargate Pooniverse?
Yeah. Stargate Pooniverse.
Schwiftgate.
Hergate Universe. No, it was just a bad script, and I just assumed it was just a bad script.
Yeah.
Then I showed up, and everybody had giant fake boobs, or shirts were completely open, and I walked in, and they gave me this look like, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm not supposed to be here. That's
amazing. I prepared a monologue.
Yeah.
I also had an audition. I showed up and quickly realized it was a commercial for a porn site.
Oh.
And it was, they're like, you're just reacting to this laptop like the greatest thing you've ever seen. And then I'm like, what is this for? They're like, oh, it's an adult site. Adult how?
What was it? Which one? They
didn't tell me.
Because that would make the story.
They were just pretty much like, it was called Finger Blast LA.
Finger Blast LA.
Yeah. No, I never got the full name, but they were just like, yeah, it's an adult video
site.
Being an
actor is such an adventure. It's, the amount of crap that we have to do.
I was
ridiculous.
Just like, you know what? I'm good. I don't want this job. I don't need the $200 that badly.
$200 is $200.
I could have been the guy who reacts to laptop images.
Had I gotten cast in that porn, could have been a different career entirely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You never know. I've auditioned for so
much. David Blue Balls.
David Blue Balls. Oh, God. That's my whole middle school career.
Your podcast could be called Into the Blue.
And Out of the Blue. And Into the Blue.
It could still be called Out of... Yeah. Oh, no. Wait, no. No. Because that means it's being done to me. No.
Semantics.
This is an interesting podcast. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, this has all been an elaborate ruse to lure you into porn.
Dave.
Yes.
To lure you back into the porn. So.
Again?
As I told you, we like to start off each episode with a guest providing a fact about themselves or something you learned recently. I know you were saying you were having trouble thinking of this. So
I think I came up with one.
Okay, if you got one.
Well, I just don't know.
There are no rules.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much it's going to help lead into any sort of mass discussion.
That's fine. I mean, we were talking about porn parodies for the last 4 minutes.
It was... You clocked that pretty well. It was about 4 or 5 months ago. Does that count?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I like to believe...
I'm sorry. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Judges?
Well, let's
so
talk about
sorry.
Learning what Schwifty is. I consider myself a relatively intelligent person.
Okay.
I've been called that before, whether or not it's true. And when I was in London at a signing convention and I was with a bunch of fans... I was talking about the differences in languages and how they fascinate me.
Signing for like deaf people, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a translator. It's my side job. It's how I make ends meet between Stargate and the
next thing. But you have to learn all the extra use.
Yeah.
No, I find that you don't actually have to even know sign language. You just have to hope that no one is actually deaf.
Yeah.
did you hear about that guy, that con artist who did that? That's amazing. And terrible. That's terrible.
The genius.
It's amazing. So I was talking about how I'm fascinated by languages and the differences in language, and because in Canada, when I was working there, everyone had accents that I wasn't used to, and they would surprise me on set. Like Elise would say, "It's us against them," and I would be waiting for the director to say "cut," and he never did, and then I realized that that's just the way the Canadians say "against." And I was saying, you know, and some names are, you know, I don't understand nicknames because my entire life I thought there were two actors, Ray Fiennes and Ralph Fiennes. I never understood why he goes by the name. No one cut in why he goes by the name Ray. It's weird that Ray is short for Ralph. And everybody went, no, David, it's pronounced Rafe Fiennes. Ray Fiennes. And I went, oh, my God. I am old, and I had no idea. For years now, I had no clue that that's everyone pronouncing it correctly and me being dumb. You just learned it, didn't you?
I just learned this. Yeah.
Oh,
yes. My mind. Yeah.
I had no... You never would have thought of that.
No, because it's when you put it that close together,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's... Yeah.
That's like, hi, I'm Dave Blue. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. You knew it?
I did know this.
How?
Because I got confused earlier. I didn't learn it like...
That'd be like if Dan
I didn't just
Nottingham.
Like right off the bat look at it. I'm like, this is definitely pronounced Rafe. I thought it was Ralph at first. And then someone was like, no, it's Rafe. I was like, okay.
At first, I thought there were like three brothers. Like
Ray, like Ray, and Joseph.
Ray, and Rafe.
You got the Baldwins, you got the Sutherlands, and you got the Fiennes.
It confused the living crap out of me. I wonder how many other things in my life I've just been completely blowing this entire time.
As long
time.
As you just breeze past it like it's not an issue, usually it won't.
Just assume that, like, yeah. Everyone else is questioning it.
Yeah, like, no. They're just like, did he just say it? I don't know. We can't be bothered with this.
I love things like that, that, like, you meet somebody when they're, like, 40, and they say with such confidence, mm-hmm. they just know, and you're like, that person's been wrong for a long time.
Yeah. I'm trying to feel like there's something like that happened recently.
Ray Fiennes is all, is a noted Shakespeare interpreter.
Interpreter?
Like, who's noting this? Like, there's, like, a book out there noted. Of noted.
What, just one guy walking by going, noted,
noted.
Shakespeare, what is a Shakespeare interpreter?
You know, like deaf people?
Sign language Shakespeare.
Yeah.
He was he played Amon Gaith in Schindler's List.
He played a lot of things.
Yeah, he was a monster in Schindler's List. I like to think that is the precursor to Voldemort, like those two are connected.
Can you believe I've never seen Schindler's List?
I've never
really?
Seen it.
Well, here's what happens.
Oh, how dare you?
It does not go well.
I've never seen it.
That's why I haven't seen it, because I was like, I know this is depressed. There's a few movies that I know are going to depress the hell out of me, so I go, I need to be in the right mood, and I'm never in the right
mood.
Have
you seen 12 Years a Slave?
It is on my DVR.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it either. Generally, I'll watch movies like that are like nominated and mm-hmm. all that, but lately, Schindler's List is like 25
yeah,
years old.
Lately.
Some of those movies, it's like, I'm never in a mood to be that depressed.
Yeah, and I support them, and I'm happy for them, and I want them to win all the awards, and I hear how fantastic they are, and yeah. I'm like, I can't wait to see this movie. Yeah. But, like, usually, I think it's because I ride a constant level of depression.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm never in a place where I can afford to go lower, you know? Like, I gotta wait for a day where I just went to Disney and ate a bunch of candy and had an orgy.
I need a nice, bouncy Holocaust rollick.
Yeah, I'm never like, you know what would cheer me up? Schindler's
Red Shoes.
Black and White Misery.
Yeah. I mean, even I auditioned for...
It's a Red Jacket. Red Shoes are Wizard of Oz.
Okay. One of those.
The original Holocaust thriller.
The Tom Hanks movies. The Red Shoe. The girl with the red... The woman
the,
with the red
man
shoe.
With the one
the
red, shoe.
Red shoe.
Yeah.
I auditioned for a play at the... No, different movie entirely.
It's the man with the
probably
crazy
just as weird.
Oh, Larry Crown.
Larry Crown.
Oh, God. He has too far of a
the
career.
Man with the one red scooter. Larry Crown.
I was thinking about that walking downtown LA today. I'm like, downtown LA is homeless people and single men in hoodies walking a dog.
It is.
That's all Los Angeles
it's all
is.
It is.
Oh, it's nowhere is that dichotomy row. More clear than in the Arts District, where it looks like a goddamn war zone, and then there's a blue bottle coffee where you can spend $7 on a latte.
Yeah. It's like Silver Lake. Everyone looks miserable but has handlebar mustaches.
Exactly.
It's really interesting.
Well, they're miserable because they have handlebars, but no wheels.
They look miserable and poor, but they have iPhone 6 Pluses.
Yeah.
Hipsters, I'm still trying to figure out. Question. Here's a question for you guys.
Yes.
Go
Let's
on.
Talk about something that intrigues me. I'm gonna completely hijack your podcast.
Do it.
17. I was thinking about this. I think we talked about this. Maybe.
Probably. An entire grapefruit.
Every time we look, I know when you're in, when you're in something, you can't actually define it. But I feel like any time, any era that we would look back, we're like the 70s, if somebody dressed in the 70s, it's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, very specific. 90s even, pretty specific. Anything from the aughts to now, everyone kind of just wears whatever the heck they want. I don't know if you could ever dress in a movie in the future from 2015 and know it's 2015.
No. I was reading, and I'll be honest, I was reading an article the other day about this, about how like I love the 80s and those types of shows forced nostalgia mm-hmm. or fake nostalgia on people, because that was also prior to like a lot of Wikipedia and things like that, and people took what they knew and looked at a lot of those types of fashions in that sense because those shows were so popular, and they kind of merged them together.
Yeah.
And like exactly that, like you look at Back to the Future and you can make period pieces like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in 20 years, you couldn't make a movie set in 2010.
I don't think you
can.
But it would look like the answer, every other era blended.
The answer is skinny jeans and also graphic tees that mash up two different pieces of pop culture.
No, that's nerd-centric. That's not 2015-centric.
But I would say, like, you don't see that in any other era.
That's true. Well, I mean, yeah,
like,
you could make
the proliferation
Comic-Con.
Of, like...
I mean, in the 70s had a lot of those types of shirts, though.
But that's a very
specific
thing,
like,
too. That's like if you saw
graphic tees,
like you saw Force Awakens,
like Sherlock doing fucking speed racer poses.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's just, well, I mean, we're mashing.
But if you made
much.
A movie with that, the IP rights on all those shirts would be out of this world.
Oh, of course.
That's true. Huh. I don't know. I was just trying. I don't know why I was trying to figure
that is
it
an
out.
Interesting point.
Like, you wouldn't know you time traveled.
I mean,
if you
skinny
woke
jeans
up in
are. I feel like guys with skinny jeans has been a major thing of like the 20s. The 2000s.
The roaring 20s. 2000s.
Well, I call it the 20s because like when you don't say, people say 2010 or 2015, but you didn't say 19,000 or 1900. Do you know what I mean?
No, but we said
the aughts.
The aughts, which I hated.
Yeah.
But what this would be the tens, I would assume.
The tens. I call it like the teens. I say
the tingling
like
teens.
I call it.
Is that the website that you
had? Oh, yeah. teentingle.com.
I call it 2015 because you always said 1982. You didn't say, you know, 1982.
Maybe,
so I make sure
maybe you skipped those extra steps, but I went. 16,
the I'm 19s. Really looking forward to the 20s because I want to talk like this all the time.
Ah, welcome to 2015.
Welcome to 2021, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope we just randomly
just
bring
starts,
back the transatlantic accent.
It just
accent.
Starts happening.
That'd be amazing. I would love to do that in audition.
Yeah,
how you doing? Hey, yeah, pretty girl.
Nice gams, that's, eh?
Here's a fact I got up since we were talking about Ralph Fiennes and Schindler's List, which is also part of the Holocaust. Here's a fact about here's some
Ralph Fiennes was part of the Holocaust.
And this kind of correlates to everybody like on the internet like 3 weeks ago, everybody was like baby Hitler was trending and
because they like, asked Republican candidates what they would do if you could go back in time and like kill baby Hitler.
Is that a real
pretty
question?
Pretty much
for candidates
they asked
now?
Them like
are we yeah. entering time cop era where that's gonna be an option?
Pretty much.
I'm gonna go back in time and kill the dude who invented flip flops.
But would we have something worse if you killed him? Who? Butterfly effect, man.
Butterfly
like,
effect.
Who knows?
Like,
what, maybe
yeah, right?
maybe the invention of flip-flops prevented us from having so flop true. Flips, which are incredibly painful.
Even worse. They made an even worse noise and looked worse with jeans.
Yeah. What if Crocs were actual crocodiles if you went back and you killed the real Crocs guy? What if we were killing crocodiles and they were endangered? And I don't know where I'm going with this.
That is almost like there's movies like where I feel like that could be like a if you did a time travel parody movie, you could really amplify that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that Simpsons episode with the time traveling toaster when he kept going back and he'd step on a butterfly and he'd come back and everything would be weird and quite crazy.
It's true. I've time traveled. It's true.
My friend Karen yeah. Lyons had a very good perspective on that. He's like, none of us deserve time machines because we would go back in time and murder an innocent child instead of teaching him to paint.
Yeah.
Huh. Very Eddie Izzard.
Absolutely.
I like that.
I mean, also, we wouldn't have, like, highways and stuff like that.
Yeah, or a space program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
We wouldn't have a lot of things. Like, I'm not defending it.
Or Oktoberfest.
But
this podcast took a turn.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Hitler was a vegetarian. Hitler.
Speaking of non-World War II related Ralph Fiennes.
All right, and then I'll get into some Hitler facts.
Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph
so weird.
Fiennes facts.
Who did that? Who's the
Ralph?
It's like
he's a Ralph.
That was Deborah and Hank Fiennes.
Remember Dragon's Warrior, the video game Dragon Warrior?
No.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
On what? What system?
NES.
Oh,
it was awesome. They had wraiths.
They had wraith Fiennes. That's what he's going to be when he dies or goes after the One Ring.
Like, my friends were trying to get me into playing D&D and starting up a character, and I was like, can I name my character? And they're like, what would you name it? And I'm like, John Chaotic Goodman. That's what I mean. And then now I'm like, maybe I want to be a bad guy, and I'd call it Wraith Fiennes.
Wraith Fiennes. But I just hope he's just like a bard who walks around quoting Shakespeare.
Interpreting Shakespeare.
Like,
I think
every minute that somebody says something Shakespeare, he's like, what he means is.
What the bard is trying to say.
It's like that genius app for songs.
Well, he's like a douchebag who walks around the Royal Shakespeare Company telling people what they're taught. Like, here's your stuff.
That word means vagina. You've said that about every word so far.
They all mean vagina.
Ralph Fiennes was almost, he was up for discussion to be playing Bond, James Bond.
When Daniel Craig did?
About 20 years ago, actually. So I think it was around when they were looking at Pierce Brosnan. He met Albert Cubby Broccoli, the producer of the franchise, and there was a conversation that was really great, Fiennes said. But it didn't lead to anything on both sides. He didn't feel ready to commit, and they were already looking at Pierce Brosnan.
I loved Remington Steele.
Well, they wanted Pierce Brosnan twice.
Really?
Yeah, they wanted him right after Remington Steele. Then it got canceled.
Huh.
And then they found out that they wanted him for Bond or whatever. So then they renewed it.
Here's a little known fact: they have never wanted me for Bond.
As far as I know.
This is wild because I have a Bond fact here, too.
19 people that were never considered for James Bond.
Best Bud Feed list ever.
While we're talking about James Bond, and then I'll get into some Hitler facts.
How did this happen? I picked the wrong fact. I'm sorry.
No. Mythbusters confirmed the myth that a scuba diver can wear a tuxedo underneath his dry suit, go underwater, resurface, strip off his scuba gear, and be able to present the tuxedo at a yacht party in the harbor as if James Bond did it in Goldfinger.
And it wouldn't be wrinkled.
It wouldn't be wrinkled. It wouldn't be wet. There might be some creases, but it would still be dry. And that, for those of you that don't
amazing.
Know... For those of you that don't know, a dry suit provides thermal insulation or passive thermal protection to the wearer while immersed in water. It's as opposed to a wetsuit, which keeps you warm underwater by putting a very thin layer of water in between you and the suit, which your 96 degree or 98 degree body heat would then warm up. A dry suit keeps you completely dry.
Question, though. While wearing the suit, the dry suit,
yes.
Wouldn't you look really weird because it'd be weirdly puffy underneath?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you ran into somebody in the ocean, they'd be like, what's wrong with you?
What did you gain weight?
Yeah, fat guy in a little
You're
coat.
You're double kind of O? Thing. You made double O status
are
looking
you,
like that?
Are you wearing a tuxedo underneath the suit?
Don't body shame me underwater.
I feel like sharks would be like, I don't know what these people are up to anymore.
This is bananas.
Because that's what sharks sound like.
They do. That's exactly what they sound like.
I know. Is this water for me? Because I started drinking it and I realized it could have just been here forever.
Nope. Two of those waters.
Two of them are for me.
Here we go. Hitler was a vegetarian.
Yeah. And apparently, he also praised the efficiency of the American genocide of Native Americans.
Oh,
that's a fun Hitler fact.
Here's
I know that
because
of Eddie Izzard.
Hitler was... He also stopped drinking for a while, but he... Yeah, he's up drinking for a while. You know, me and him go way back. He
good
gave it up
for him. I don't really know where to go with that.
He was prescribed 90 in his later years. He was prescribed 90 medications during the war years. Hitler took many pills each day for chronic stomach problems and other ailments. He regularly consumed methamphetamines, barbiturates, opiates, and cocaine. He suffered ruptured eardrums as a result of the July 20th plot bomb blast in 1944, and he had 200 wood splinters removed from his legs.
200?
Yeah.
That's just essentially just a table.
He also hated...
a whole table.
It's a whole table.
He also hated soccer because it could not be fixed to ensure German victory over non-Germans.
How? How do you... If you can fix any sport, why? What is it about soccer that you can't fix?
The game is too pure.
The Germans are just
the
so
game
bad at it.
Itself is too pure.
It's so bad that even if you paid the other team to take a dive, they would still lose.
They're already going to dive. They're soccer players.
Germans don't get soccer. Is that what we're saying?
Was ist das? Why won't they lose to us?
Oh, and the soccer ball is black and white.
Yeah.
Oh, except it was
football. Why can it not only be white?
White only white, because then it's volleyball.
Hitler, oh, here's a fact. Hitler loved volleyball because
there you go.
It was a fun sport to play at Germany's many beaches.
Germany's got beaches. There's a fact I didn't know.
Who knew? Who knew? He made them.
Dave, here's a fun fact, too. You were telling me this on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Then it's also on your Wikipedia here. You might be able to tell the story.
Okay.
It's about your first role in a movie.
Oh,
that
Winter
happened.
Follies?
Winter Follies, which was almost started off as like a prank you were telling me.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah, so tell this. This is a fun story.
So when I was going to school in the University of Central Florida, we were all in
located
theater.
In Orlando, Florida.
In Orlando,
it's the
Florida.
26th largest metropolitan in the United States and the 11th largest metropolitan area in the southern
and,
United
and
States.
Weirdly,
geographic center of Florida.
And it's, and it's becoming actually, I think it's one of the highest attendance schools in the country right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we all wanted to do film, and none of us knew how to do film, so we all just went to Full Sail Film School, which was nearby, and handed out headshots one day. And we're
there.
Like, if you ever need anybody, here's a headshot. And we never heard anything. And then, like, a year later, 6 months later, I get a call, like, hey, I'm doing a movie, and I have your headshot. Would like you to come in. I showed up at the audition, and I auditioned, and the guy gave me a weird look, and he's like, and he cast me. It was Darren Bousman, who did the Saw movies.
Yep.
And then while we were on set, he told me the actual story of what happened. I guess I had given my headshot to his roommate, who apparently he hated. He thought this guy was the weirdest guy in the world, and he hated him. And this still creeps me out. The guy took my headshot and put it up on his door.
Wow.
Just mine. Not like in a montage of actors. Just mine, which I don't want to know what he was using it for.
Yeah.
And so my friend
Target practice.
So Darren was like,
practicing
I saw
Shakespeare
it.
With it.
He's like, yeah, it was really crispy for some reason. So Darren was like, I thought you were a friend. No, don't ruin it for me. So he's like, I thought you were a friend of his, and I wanted to call you in and can I curse?
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to fuck with you.
I wanted to fuck you.
And you came in, but you were actually really good. So we all went, shh, 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 don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. So I got it because he wanted to screw with me.
That's so funny.
My first feature movie.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes everything works out, even ill intentions.
That happens to me my whole life. Like, every time I go in for something.
Everything's a cruel prank that works out.
That works out in the end, you know?
Oh, we're just going to do something really mean, but he was genuinely good.
He was nice.
Damn, why's he got to be good and nice?
I wasn't going to murder him, but now I'm going to bake him a
cake.
And
nice.
I'll just wear his skin.
This was a poor choice to come on this podcast. I'm regretting it already.
Speaking of poor choices, being a naughty child in Alpine countries like Austria or Germany, because this past weekend was Krampusnacht.
Mm. Oh, Krampus.
Krampus also.
Everyone go see the movie Krampus?
It is very good.
I have not. Is it good?
I haven't seen it, but I know Mike Doherty.
I really enjoyed it. If you like trick or
treat. I
know
Krampus.
Personally,
yeah, we go way back.
If you liked Trick or Treat, a fun Halloween anthology film, you'll dig this. It's a good like.
What about Tree
Christmas
Venge?
Horror movie? I've not seen Tree Venge.
Watch Tree Venge. It's 16 minutes and it's bananas.
I've seen Poltergeist, but I haven't seen Tree Venge.
Is this another trauma movie?
No, it's like a 16-minute. I don't know. It's like
okay.
Super low budget, but
anyway,
it's like violent as shit, dude.
Is it trees killing people?
It's trees killing people, and at one point, a tree takes its stump and smashes it through like a screaming baby's head. That's how bananas this is. It's
just like trees. Technically part of Poltergeist is Treevenge.
Poltergeist.
When it comes
and
to
definitely
window.
Part of Evil Dead is Treevenge.
Oh God!
But Krampus is
Krampus.
A holiday classic in the making, I would say.
Yeah.
But the cool part is the actual lore behind the holiday. Are you guys familiar with the Krampus myth?
A little bit, but tell our listeners and tell us. Tell us. I mean,
so Krampus is essentially he handles the naughty list for old Saint Nick in countries like Germany and Austria and all that. He's basically an anthropomorphic goat demon that kind of looks like Pazuzu from The Exorcist, had a baby with a yeti by way of Baphomet, the satanic goat-headed idol. And there's a little bit of Willem Dafoe in there, too, because that guy is resting goblin face.
How long have you been holding on to that one?
No, I mean, even before, like, the Green Goblin, it's just like, that's what its face looks like to stay. So, you know, rather than, like, giving kids a lump of coal, you know, Krampus has a greener approach to punishing naughty kids. He has some chains and a bell that he rings to signal his arrival, and then he uses a giant bundle of birch sticks to swat at wicked children and chase them through the town. And the ones that he catches, he shoves into a giant sack or a tub, depending on the myth that you're hearing, and he hauls them off to the underworld so he can eat them. So if you're a bad little bastard, he's going to find you.
I feel like it would be so much easier to drive around L.A. if that was a real thing.
Oh, it would be
empty.
Yeah.
Be Omega Man here.
I mean, it's pretty. The streets are pretty empty during the holidays as it is.
Well, can you imagine if like wicked people were punished? Good God, it'd be amazing.
Like I've always said, if I had superpowers, I'd probably be a villain.
And on the evening.
Just driving on the 405.
Driving on the 405.
On the evening of.
If I could make people disappear, boom. That'd be like.
Why would you want to drive on the 405 even
if
people weren't there?
When people aren't there, it's amazing. Like around Christmas, you have to get to Santa Monica. You're there in 4 minutes. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And my car goes 1,000 miles an hour.
I guess I'm also coming from the 10.
Oh, well.
I mean, I like the 10. I generally take the 10 also.
Oh my God, we're so the Californians from SNL right now.
What are you doing?
Take the 5 to the 10 to the 110, which is the thing.
Well, let's keep talking about Krampus real quick. The evening of December 5th, there's something called. Krampuslauf.
Okay. Or
the
Krampus, that was last night. There was a party last night.
The Krampus run, where dudes will get schwifty, they'll get wasted, and then dress up as Krampus and chase children through the village.
That's amazing.
Weirdly, any other night, it's just called pedophilia.
Yeah.
It's called Jerry Fogle.
The next day is known as Nikolaustag or St. Nicholas Day. The German children will leave a shoe outside their door. And if they've been good, they'll find sweets in there. They'll find candy in there. But if they've been bad, they'll find a rod, which then they presumably take out and have to like flagellate themselves with.
I remember that.
Who comes up with holidays? Germany and Austria and Hungary.
When I was in grade school, I went to a Catholic school called St. Stanislaus, and we did a thing where it was like
school of witchcraft and wizardry.
Ray Fiennes was the villain there. He was the man
who did you go to school in Austria? St. Stanislaus.
It was Bay City, Michigan, a Polish town.
Makes sense.
Close
Michigan.
Enough. I remember celebrating, like, they had, like, a thing called, like, St. Nick or whatever, where you'd put a shoe out in the hallway of the school, and, like, somebody would come by. And,
it
like,
is full
like,
of sausage.
Put, like, treats. They'd put, like, treats or, like, a ruler, your, you know, like, school type of stuff.
Nothing says big of a treat as finding a ruler on your shoe.
It's like getting a pencil
And then if you were bad, you were slapped that ruler by a nun.
Okay, first of all, maybe I'm a bit of a germaphobe, but I don't want candy in a shoe.
No.
It's gross.
Who does not want shoe candy?
Who? I feel like we, you know what, maybe that's where everyone else has started to get it a little bit right. Like, what's the holiday? There's a tree and presents. That sounds pretty simple. We're going to add eggnog. Okay, cool. Okay, put a shoe out.
A goat-headed demon beast will claim you and bring you to the underworld, but you might get candy in your boot, which will be cold because you left it outside.
Wait, that's Flag Day, right? That's Flag Day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I always wonder.
Here's the deal, though. Negative reinforcement, I feel like, does more than positive reinforcement.
Yeah, oh, I love negging
like,
children.
Like, if Krampus was a thing that was taught to all kids and the imagery was...
Isn't that what Elf on a Shelf
taught,
is?
Was taught to all kids, they would be way better. They wouldn't be as
naughty.
But
I think that's what Elf on a Shelf is to prevent kids from being naughty.
Just for the month of December.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or if you're a horrible parent just all year.
All year
it's
round.
Like really
Elf on a Shelf,
you.
All year.
It's like Big Brother.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like, how do you like St. Nick at that point? When the night, okay, let's imagine this, shall we? The night before, children running amok all throughout town being chased by a man with a stick screaming for their lives. Who lives with a goat head. And then the next morning you're like, well, I guess we get candy today. Aren't you going to be like a little traumatic at that point?
That candy's not going to mean shit when you survived death.
Remember your brother? We don't talk about him. Give me another Tootsie Roll. Like, it sounds terrible.
Can I put my brother's shoes out now that he is gone?
Oh, God.
Papa, can I put...
May I have little Diedrich Sheriff's boot sweets?
Can I put Olaf's shoes out?
Boot sweets.
Papa!
My band in middle school was called Boot Sweets.
That's terrible. Another quick Santa fact. Santa Claus exists in the DC universe as well.
Okay.
He was this powerful 1,800-year-old immortal being whose bone dust was once snorted like cocaine by John Constantine.
Aha.
Uh-huh. A.K.A. Hellblazer.
How did he get the bone?
I don't know. Constantine, he knows a guy. He just called his dealer.
Is there a one-legged Santa Claus now? Like, how did he get a bone?
How did he get that Santa Claus bone dust?
How did he know that? Finger. Who's the first guy to do bone. That? Like, it's like, who's the first person to drink milk? It's a weird thing.
Who's the first person to snort bone
to snort
dust?
Santa?
John Constantine.
But I mean, like,
we answered that.
But I mean, no. But I mean, like, how is he just like? If I was looking at you right now, I'm like, you know, if I snorted your bone dust, I actually might enjoy it.
Apparently,
their essence or their life essence or whatever.
It puts the bone.
It's,
in the
it's an interesting thing like that, like inventions like that. When it comes to like creatures or you know, like milk, like who was the first person to drink a cow milk?
What were you about to say?
I mean, just to drink from a cow's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that looks like something I want to suck
or like
on.
Goat milks or anything. I mean, at that point.
You can milk anything.
Who sees anything and just thinks, oh, I'm going to eat this, or I'm going to smoke this. Like, oh, I'm going to take this marijuana and smoke it.
Who was
like,
the
I'm
first gonna... person to shove a baby on their boob?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you look hungry. Here.
Well, I mean, that might come from, like pigs and livestock. You see them doing it, so that may have been why.
I learned it from you,
I
babe.
From watching you, babe.
I got you, babe.
Oh, God.
Here's a comic fact.
Go on.
While you were talking about DC, we're gonna reverse...
Dark Horse
Valiant Comics was here's the thing about Iron Man. First off, Iron Man, Team Iron Man in the Civil War.
Are you?
I think so.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, Captain America and Bucky were pretty cool.
You think they should all register? You don't approve of their lifestyle?
I mean, look.
Speaking of Schindler's List.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Tony's List.
Listen,
you need a plumber?
Hey, here's the deal. I'm going to root for, the Batman in whatever universe there is.
Iron Man is not the Batman.
No, he's not at all.
Even in Man vs. Steel, where everything looks terrible?
Holy shit, does that look bad, dude.
Man vs. Steel?
Man vs. Steel? Bear Grylls and Man vs. Steel.
We got that guy from Man vs. Food fighting against Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm Bear Grylls, and I'm going to battle Superman.
Man versus Steel. Here's the deal. Man versus Steel sounds better than Batman versus Superman.
That's true. With Wonder Woman in the background.
They should. I'm just going to start calling it Man versus Steel. That is a way better name.
Man versus Steel.
Way better name.
Also, the porn parody as well. Yeah.
Batman v Superman. Dung of Justin.
Dung of Justin.
Man versus Peter Steele. Wasn't
What's
he
the
porn
first
star?
Porn you guys ever saw?
Peter North. Is who
you're Peter North.
And I think Lex Steele.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know names. I know Peter North, and I know. I think that's it. There's another dude.
Dongalisa Rice?
No.
Oh, God.
I'll be honest. I've
Jeremy. What's his name? Jeremy Piven. Jeremy
that works too.
Jeremy Poovin.
Jeremy Poovin.
I accidentally saw my first porn that I ever saw was quite by accident. I was watching a different tape. I hope my parents and my brothers aren't listening to this podcast. I was watching a tape where I had taped something like Quantum Leap or something like that. And somebody, I guess I had taped it over a video and it faded out with the snow into Edward Penis Hands.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Someone bought that for me for a birthday in college. And then we played Edward 40 Hands
for you.
We played Edward 40 Hands while watching it. And it was a big mistake because none of us could turn it off. We all had 40s taped to our hands. I'm like, no, this was a huge mistake. This is disgusting.
Did you actually end up seeing it, though?
We watched parts of it. Eventually, we just mashed the control to the remote until...
Is it like? Is it generally the same plot of the movie?
No. Well, I only saw a minute because it was very disturbing. But I do have to say this. It shouldn't be called Edward Penis Hands. It should be called Edward Penis Arms. Because it's not like he has 10 penises.
Oh,
he has one penis on each.
Oh, really?
And he's just...
That's bananas.
He has dicks for a hand.
It's bananas.
It was Johnny Depp, though. His first movie role. That's what got him the part.
That's how Tim Burton
came. Weird coincidences.
We saw you in Benny and June and had to have you for this role.
We saw you in Benny and Poon.
Oh, God. That's probably out there.
One Night in Benny.
That's a different movie together. Wow. I auditioned for it, though.
Black Ass. Johnny Depp also.
I'm pretty sure that existed before the movie.
Yeah, but now it's with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, now it's a longer title for sure.
Trying to think of one for Rango.
I think it's just Rango.
Rango. Johnny Depp is
Rango face.
Rango face.
Rango face. Nice. That works.
Iron Man was created by Stan Lee as a challenge.
Stanley Tucci.
Iron Man was created by Stanley Tucci as a challenge to create a hero no one should like and forced people to like him. In 1963, Lee had been toying with the idea of a businessman superhero. He wanted to create the quintessential capitalist who, you know, benefited from war machines and a character that would go against the spirit of the times in the current Marvel's readership, who was heavily against, like, war profiteering.
Did he accomplish that, though? Because I feel like everyone likes Iron Man. Right off the
I think for the most part, he's definitely like kind of a bristly figure.
So they created
he's never my favorite. I always like him, but I was never like...
Well, and here's the deal, and this is why DC is really dropping the ball with a lot of things.
All of a sudden you just went into one of my ears. Oh, sorry, continue. Yeah. It's fine. Surround sound, right?
Yeah. Like DC, that's what's interesting about DC is they're taking their major properties and not knowing, like making movies off of them horribly. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to do them. And the reason Marvel's succeeding is because Marvel took these.
No, you're back now. You're fine.
Marvel took these characters that really nobody loved completely and knew about, like the mass populace. Mm-hmm. Like the United States of America, the mass populace who loves superhero movies now didn't know about Iron Man. They didn't know about Thor. They didn't know about maybe Captain America.
Well, I didn't really know much about Guardians of the Galaxy until the movie.
Nobody did. I didn't. But they took these sub-characters and they figured out how to make a great world around them. And that's why I think like their world is working so great because they took Iron Man and they made people love a character that nobody really gave a shit about or knew because he was not Spider-Man. He's not the X-Men. And DC is kind of taking their three major ones and trying to make them dark and trying to do the opposite of what Marvel is doing, and they're just missing the boat completely.
Well, also, they're kind of, in my opinion, because I do watch all the shows, but they're also trying to just every day add, oh, you like this character? Here they are. Oh, you like this character? Here they are, too.
They're trying to catch up to Marvel without doing the same legwork that Marvel did.
Yeah.
The 10-year.
And I understand, and I appreciate that they're taking a different tack with how they're approaching it, because if it was just the same as Marvel movies with DC characters, I think it would seem like they were imitating.
I don't know, but maybe yes and no, but DC's got more quippy characters. You look at the Flash and you look at Green Lantern and you look at Robin and they could make a lighthearted DC universe like the Marvel universe.
I think they've done that on TV. I think they've been very successful on TV so far.
So
I would argue more so than Marvel than
movies.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter.
Absolutely. Oh, I will agree.
That's true.
Like Marvel just now is starting to find, like, really
Maybe
hit their stride
like
on TV,
though.
I think, with Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
I haven't seen Jessica Jones yet.
It's
Daredevil
fantastic.
Sure. Better than Daredevil, though?
I'd say so, yeah.
Jessica Jones better than Daredevil.
I think it's a lot better than Daredevil.
I think the villain in acting was better.
Huh.
It's just more complicated, more complex, and just, I think, better written overall.
I mean, I like Flash, and I like Arrow. I preferred Arrow towards the beginning than more than I do now.
Yeah,
but
the first season was great when he actually killed people. Like, dude, just kill people, bro.
Now, well, it's too many characters now, because it's now, like, literally the past three episodes of Arrow have been slowly setting up Legends of Tomorrow. And
yeah.
I'm like, it's stop. Just
so
make the show.
Yeah.
It's like when Supernatural did the spinoff episode. I'm like, no, this isn't Supernatural. This is you trying to spin off, and I can feel it. Well, with Flash, I like it a lot, but every episode in the first season was introduce a cool character and then don't spend any time with them. Now they're in jail. Yeah. I'm like, no, I want to see this character for a while. Yeah. Like, I don't need a new character every week. I need
villain
story.
Of the week.
Yeah, it's
the problem with those types of procedurals is you need villain of the week.
But I'm anti-procedural. I just want it to be a long story arc.
I think they do that at first because it's an easy way to get people on board where you don't necessarily have to watch. You can jump in at any point on the first season. You don't have to.
I mean,
I'll
thought
be
honest.
Of Chris Hardwick's stand-up comedy where he's like, you know you're going to talk, Randy. Swallow before. You guys should come to my party later.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to throw out blood real quick. Yeah. Anyway.
throwback. Sorry.
Yeah.
What I was saying is that I feel like they have to do it at the beginning so you give people multiple jumping on points throughout the first season.
But don't you think that's lazy? Don't you think that's lazy filmmaking, TV making, where you trust your audience to be involved?
Yes, it is, but they don't have that luxury in a network environment right now. There's not that level of confidence behind the scenes.
But even Jessica Jones could have been 9 episodes instead of 13. Like, there was a few episodes where it was literally just villain of the week filler.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't think so.
Yeah,
I disagree
with
that.
Like, there was like two that was
I thought the slower pacing was
there was that one with that one. I mean, you haven't seen it, so I can't talk about it, but there was at least two that I can think of completely that
I think the back half was a little more meandering than the front half, but I don't think that anything was nothing felt like filler or overwrought to me.
That's what they said about my last date.
Hey-o.
How was Kristen Ritter?
She's phenomenal. She's great.
I'm not surprised that David Tennant's good at anything.
He's great,
but
he was great.
Yeah, she's been a great actress as well. Breaking Bad, Veronica Mars, even that show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. She was good on that.
I've always liked her, but I don't know. I just don't know much about
her. It's
Jessica
nice
Jones.
That she's playing sort of a complicated, not necessarily likable hero. You know, she's got her own faults and foibles. She's not like, it's more so, she feels more realistic than someone like a Cap or an Iron Man. You're like, you're a billionaire. You're a soldier who's been frozen for 80 years.
But you know what, though? In a weird, I don't know what it is. The suspension of disbelief is easier in some of the characters that Marvel have created, like Iron Man or Cap. Yeah. You never once were like, wait, what? Yeah. Whereas in Arrow, and I do still watch it, so I'm not crapping on the show. And spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it, when he's like announcing to the city that he is the Green Arrow, I'm like, there is no shadow on your face whatsoever. Yeah. Anyone watching would be like, hey, wait. That's Oliver Queen, right?
Yeah. Like, a black mask and a hood.
Yeah, not even. It's like pure light on his face. There's not even anything covering his face.
Yeah, that one is
and the fact that they changed his
name. A lot of the stuff on Arrow, of the stuff on Arrow in particular has just been like, all right.
Okay. Well, I always feel bad as an actor. She's good, but I feel bad for Katie Cassidy because she has to like jump out of a van and just go, if I was Canary, I would be like, can we just make it a button that I hit so I don't have to like make a weird screaming face every time?
I haven't watched Arrow this season, but how did she get something implanted that she can just do that, or how does she do that?
Technological.
I think Cisco from The Flash helped develop
something for her.
Totally,
Sonic.
So she can just open her mouth and doesn't need to actually do something.
Why not just make it?
Guile from Street Fighter. Yeah. Sonic Boom.
Nice.
And then on this latest one, you're all caught up, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. When she's like, I have the weirdest deja vu. And I'm like, bitch, no you don't. You weren't here last time.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have deja vu. You were stuck home. You were at the farm.
And they apparently do not understand temporal mechanics because you wouldn't have a deja vu whatsoever. Only the Flash would because he had done that. But whatever. You know, whatever, nerd. Clearly.
Professor. Let
me watch the episode.
Here's
something completely non-nerd. Here's a fact that you guys, and for the United States listeners,
looking at you, Obama.
Make note of this, and you'll never not be able to not see this. But United States Postal Service, the mailman,
the USPS,
the mail, the white mailman trucks that you see driving around.
Why they got to be white?
That's what color they are. they don't have license plates.
What?
What?
How are you supposed to arrest them?
Mail trucks don't have license plates.
Why are they going to be mail?
You know how they're mail? Little balls.
They'll have truck nuts.
Because they're driving all the movies?
So you know.
Here's something I just learned.
Yeah.
Because I saw a mail truck parked on my street on a Sunday, and I went, what is that doing here? And my friend went, you know they deliver on Sundays now, right?
They do.
They do packages. I went, wait, my whole world is
they
changed.
Only deliver Amazon things on Sundays.
Which is so crazy to me.
They only deliver Amazon.
By Amazon on Sundays.
For Sundays. Just to deliver Amazon project packages
you can order,
on Sundays.
Yeah, you can order Amazon Trail, Wonder Woman-related memorabilia. That's pretty much it.
The United States Postal Service employs
the movie Congo
and Jumanji.
What was that? Betty or Emily or whatever?
I don't remember. It's been too long. Emily. I worked at a movie theater when that movie came out. I have that poster still.
The United States Postal Service employs some 617,000 workers, making it the third largest civilian employer in the United States behind the federal government and Walmart. The USPS operates one of the largest civilian vehicle fleets in the world with an estimated 211,000 vehicles. For every penny increase in the national average price of gasoline, the United States Postal Service spends an extra $8 million per year to fuel its fleet.
How much is Amazon paying them then?
I don't know, but listen
worthwhile.
To this. The number of gallons of fuel used in 2009 was 444 million, which cost $1.1 billion. So $1.1 billion of taxpayers' dollars and, like, obviously, like, the cost of mail packages was spent on gas in 2009.
But what are they paying per gallon? Because there's no way they pay what we do when we go to, like, a mobile.
They probably pay more because the gas companies have an agreement with the government to, you know what I mean? Like,
it'd be a deal, wouldn't you think?
No way. Not when the government's paying for things. You lobby.
Oh,
you,
that's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like, it's all
$800
you know
a gallon.
Yeah.
It's all wheeled and dealed and lobbyists, huh. And it's, which
wait,
is,
why are
you know,
we paying so much then? That's bullshit.
Speaking of the USPS, the USPS,
yes.
The longest rural delivery routes. This is the longest rural. Delivery route,
rural.
The longest rural delivery route is in Mangum, Oklahoma, and the mail carrier has to travel 187.6 miles daily to deliver to 240 mailboxes.
The hourly wage must be amazing.
You'd hope. The shortest one is in Carrollton, Texas. The carrier travels 1.2 miles daily and delivers to 312 central delivery boxes.
Is it like apartment building?
I'd imagine. Yeah, it's just a real chill apartment building in Carrollton, Texas.
That would be terrible.
Horrible.
The amount of junk mail alone.
Apparently, the most unusual delivery method, this is from the USPS site, is a mule train. Each mule carries about 130 pounds of mail, food and supplies, and furniture down an 8-mile trail. So each mule carries 130 pounds of mail, food, supplies, furniture down an 8-mile trail to the Havasupai Indians at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
And little known fact, it dies every time they need a new mule.
They average about 4,000 pounds a day.
Those mules also don't have license plates.
Yeah.
How do you give them tickets?
They're in their pocket a big mule.
Wait a minute. So UPS drivers, they get tickets all the time.
Do they?
Because they double park and they don't care.
And they can get.
They can just afford to pay.
They can pretty much just like. Meh,
and they only make right turns. They never make a left turn.
This is I think it's the most efficient way.
Yeah.
Because you would potentially waste time waiting to turn left.
True,
whereas you can always be turning right.
Yeah.
But does that mean you work in a spiral until you get to the center and then you
pretty much. Yeah,
I'm learning much.
It's just an elaborate way for them to create centripetal force and slowly turn the entire planet. Yeah, they keep the planet rotating.
But so if they made left-hand turns, would we go back in time?
No, because three lefts make a right.
Ooh. But four, you're back where you started.
Oh, no, we fucked up! The most common city names, the most common street names, according to the USPS, in the country, in order, are...
Oh, I gotta hear these.
Maine, second, Maple... Oak and Park.
Oh, I would have thought front.
I heard Park.
Front Street.
I knew Park. I figured main one. I thought like Flint or some other ones may have been because I know there's some street names in Los Angeles here that are the same as my small town in Bay City, Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you're in Atlanta, Orange Blossom. I think Orange Blossom. I was trying to find a restaurant when
or
I was
Washington.
At DragonCon. No, I think it's Orange Blossom.
Because there's an Orange Grove here.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm forgetting now. There's a street. Oh, my God. There's a street. Look it up, please. There's a place in Atlanta, and it screwed me up because I was leaving the hotel, and I wanted to get food nearby.
Orange Blossom Terrace?
Orange Blossom something. Most common street name Atlanta. And Google Maps actually had me go down, let's say Orange Grove. Go down Orange Grove. Oh no, sorry. Peachtree. Different entirely. It's called Peachtree.
Okay.
So it said, leave the hotel, take Peachtree, make a right on Peachtree, and make a left on Peachtree. And I'm like, I am traveling through space and time itself. It was great. They're all called Peachtree.
Wow.
I just
probably like
the
Peachtree Circle, Peachtree Drive.
No, it was all like Peachtree. It was just Peachtree.
It's a great tree. What do you guys think the most common city name in the United States is? The most common city name.
Steve.
Bay City.
Steve or Bay City. You guys
There's a lot of bays.
You guys were so close.
I'm going to say...
It's Franklin.
Okay.
With 31 places across the country named Franklin.
Really? Like Washington.
Clinton and Washington are second with 29 each. Arlington's third with 28. Then Chester, Georgetown, Madison, and Salem all have 27 locations.
Salem does?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. You know, people love witches.
Peachtree. Street is the main street of Atlanta. Beginning at Five Points in downtown Atlanta, it runs north through Midtown
and
upon
connects
entering
to Peachtree.
it runs north through Midtown upon entering Buckhead. Its name changes to Peachtree Road.
Oh. Well, did you
go to the experimental restaurant there? The Peachtree Dish?
Oh. Yeah, I got sick.
Great. Just curious. I heard it was good on Yelp. I hear they have a good Cobb salad.
Oh, God.
Puns.
Oh, God.
What other city and street facts you got there on that?
That's it. There's no more street facts. No, there's the longest main street in the country is in Island Park, Idaho. 33 miles long, that main street.
Ready for this?
That's too much main street.
That's too much. That's way main.
The peach tree name is common throughout the Atlanta area.
Name for a tree full of peaches.
While Peachtree alone always refers to this street, there are 71 streets in Atlanta with a variant of Peachtree in their name. Some of these include
Peachtree,
Peachtree Creek Road, Peachtree Lane, Peachtree Avenue, Peachtree Circle, Peachtree Drive, Peachtree Plaza, Peachtree Way, Peachtree Memorial Drive.
See?
And Peachtree Swifty Boulevard.
Like, where do you live, Peachtree? I hate you. I'm never going to come over. Yeah. Like, how would you know?
Oh, listen to this. Ready this? There's one called Peachtree Battle Avenue.
Was that sounds Battle pretty of great. Peachtree? Or did they all just sit around eating peaches?
Battle of Peachtree Creek. Peachtree's hard to say.
Peachtree. 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 Peachtree Creek.
The Battle of Peachtree
Creek. Like judicial. You sound drunk when you say it. Peachtree Creek.
Was fought in Georgia on July 20th, 1864, as part of the Atlanta campaign in the American Civil War. It was the first major attack by General John Bell Hood since taking command of the Confederate Army of Tennessee.
About time.
Yeah.
Peachtree Creek Battle. Battle of Peachtree Creek. It sounds like a warm-up for an actor.
Yeah,
Battle
right?
Battle of Peachtree Creek. Battle of Peachtree
Red Creek. Peachtree, yellow Peachtree. You Peachtree York.
Is that the red or the yellow?
Peachtree.
Peachtree buggy bumper.
If you saw a list of directions, let's hypothetically, and it said, go north a mile on Peachtree, turn right on Peachtree, turn left on Peachtree, and stop halfway down Peachtree. Okay. Would you think that your Google Maps had broken, or would you follow it?
I would pay attention to how far I'm driving. Then take a right on whatever street is there.
You and your logic.
Then I would look for another street that may have been named Peachtree.
I would flee the city.
I would leave the city.
I'd get to higher ground and flee.
How'd you get lost in New York? It's a grid, motherfucker.
Is that Mulaney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Well done. Well done. Love Mulaney.
Yeah, he's so his new Netflix special is very well done.
I haven't seen it. I gotta watch it. I love his story about what is it, Tom Jones?
Not on you.
Who I just learned recently is Welsh.
Really?
Tom Jones, yeah. He was doing an interview on NPR, and he's apparently Welsh. And my buddy Matt, who is a music editor for Nerdist, was saying he went to a Tom Jones show at KCRW. It was not unusual to be loved by anyone. But he was saying that one time Tom Jones was sharing an apartment or a house with Elvis, and he's like, all of a sudden he hears singing in the shower, and Elvis just steps into the shower with him. So
can you imagine being roommates with those two? Tom Jones, his real name is Thomas Jones Woodward.
Oh, I knew there was a twist.
Yeah, he's a sir. He's a Welsh singer. Yeah.
That's weird.
He's had 36 top 40 hits in the United Kingdom and 19 top 40 hits in the United States.
Wow.
I never would have guessed. It's not unusual. What's New Pussycat? Delilah. She's a lady. Kiss.
She's
sex bomb.
A lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey there, Delilah.
Oh, different song.
Yeah, he wrote that too. He goes through the lyrics.
Yeah, it's really interesting. He's had a lot of hits recently.
Yeah.
Good on him.
He also did Skater Boy.
I was wondering, because Engelbert Humperdinck, that's not his real name.
Yeah.
As Eddie Izzard has pointed out.
Oh, and here's another fun
What's
fact.
What's his real name?
Jerry Dorsey. I learned this all from Eddie Izzard.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Mm-hmm.
Avril Lavigne, if you rearrange the letters in her name, it spells vaginal liver.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Hey, I like Avril
Lavigne. You've done this before.
Yeah, Arnold Dorsey.
Arnold Dorsey?
Arnold, what did you say?
I thought it was Jerry Dorsey.
Arnold George Dorsey. Could be Jerry George. Could be
Eddie Izzard lied to me.
As an English pop singer, he's best known for his songs Release Me and The Last Waltz. Engelbert Humperdinck.
He does a great bit about being a fly on the wall when they're coming up with the name for that. He's like, oh, what's your name? Dorsey? No, that's not going to work. Gingelbert Slaptyback. Gingelbert Fisty Buns.
That is a weird name. Like you'd hear Engelbert Humperdinck and you'd think that they'd change it to something else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem like that's a stage name.
Well, we get it a lot with actors here in L.A. Like, when every time someone hears my name, they're like, what's your real name? I'm like, that is my real name.
I go by Razzle. My real name's Eric Gwizdala.
Gwizdala?
But they changed it to Razzle at Ellis Island.
Sir, we already have 5 Gwizdalas. We need something different.
Of the East Egg Gwizdalas.
Gwizdalas. I like Gwizdalas.
Trying to find out.
Gwizdalas.
I like on the Wikipedia page for Engelbert Humperdinck, it ends with, Humperdinck is regarded by music critics to be, quote, one of the finest middle-of-the-road balladeers around.
Oh, here we go.
Of all the average people, you're our favorite.
So he got his name.
A true C+.
He got his name. He took his name from a German composer of 19th century operas. Hansel and Gretel is the primarily one. But Engelbert Humperdinck was a composer from 1854 to 1921. He was 67 years old. He died in 1921.
That's so random. It's like, hey, there's too many David Blues in the Union. You know what? Just call me Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's a little strange.
Can you imagine a famous actor now, like in World War
awesome.
Z2, starring Amadeus Mozart?
I would watch the hell out of that.
I would watch the hell out of that.
A deaf Amadeus. Composer who fights zombies.
Like, that's balls. Like, to change your name to Amadeus Mozart. Like,
Beethoven, run!
Maybe that's the secret to being a successful actor. You just move here and you just come up with a really famous, like, hi.
I mean, like, Michael B. Jordan even has, you know, I mean, that's his real name, but.
Or Stephen whatever McQueen, his actual
Stephen
son.
Yeah, Stephen McQueen.
I'm going to change my name.
Is that his actual son?
I'm going to.
Yeah.
The director.
Or he's related to him. I don't know if it's his actual son.
I'm going to change mine to Denzel Washington.
Denzel. You get a lot more auditions.
Yeah,
that
right.
Way.
Oh, I thought this was just a typo. This is deeply disappointing.
Jimmy Stewart. And people are like, really? Jimmy Stewart wants to do our movie? Call him in. Like, you're way too young.
Well, there's
to play
two
the
Steve
dad.
McQueens. There's three Steve McQueens. There's the actor, Terrence
there's
Steve McQueen.
The British director.
Terrence McQueen would have been a different action star.
There's the
British director.
Terrence McQueen.
Hi, I'm Terrence McQueen.
I'm
Terry McHugh.
And then there's Steve McQueen. Stephen Rodney Steve McQueen, the director who did 12 Years a Slave.
And Shame.
Then there's the.
Did he?
Yeah,
that movie scarred me for life because I was just like, oh look, what's his name? Oh my god,
Michael Fassbender.
I'm like, oh, Fassbender's peeing, and what is that pendulum in front of? Him? Oh,
that's Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, I'm scarred for life.
Yeah.
Then there's a younger actor who's on Chicago Fire, the show Chicago Fire, who is.
Stephen R. McQueen, right?
Stephen R. McQueen.
He used to be on Vampire Diaries.
His parents are Chad McQueen.
Chad McQueen.
And a.k.a. Dad McQueen.
Whose dad was Stephen McQueen, was Terrence McQueen.
Oh, he was
so
the director. But is the director?
Terrence McQueen. Terry McQueen from Bullet.
He is the crazy,
the
awesome
grandfather
actors. Wow.
I feel like, I thought there was like a Steve McQueen fashion guy, though, too, right? I could be wrong.
Yeah, you're asking the right crowd for that. Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of Fashion Week, I have no idea. I wonder if it's easier to get into the industry when you're related to somebody who is, or if it's like starting, it's harder because you have to like work against
I think it,
it
depends on how well regarded and what sort of resources they can afford you, because
well,
a lot
you
of people
have money,
do like
which
to
helps,
yeah, just if for to answer that question, see the new movie Creed in theaters now.
Such a good movie.
It is really well done.
I haven't seen it.
It's
don't spoil
good.
It Does he win?
It's really good, but you know what? It's made for a new generation. As opposed to like Rocky, which is slower. It's a slow burn. This is so fast. They show a plot point, and then they cut to the next plot point.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a little too fast for me because I'm old, but I still enjoyed it.
Rocky 1 is so good.
Yeah.
Rocky 1's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rocky 2 is great,
Stallone's
too. Actually
Rocky
really
2,
good.
Rise of an Empire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that was 4.
Eva Green.
Topless. He's not a mon- is she in Creed?
That's the only reason to see that god-awful movie.
What movie?
300 Rise of an Empire.
302, which is just 302.
They should have called it 301.
301.
Or Dalmatians. 301
Ava
Dalmatians.
Green? Who's Ava Green?
Ava Green.
Ava Green, who was on like Penny Bava Dreadful Green. Now and Beautiful, who was also in Casino Royale.
And in Sin City 2, A Dame
who
to Kill
I'm
For.
Who I'm in love with because she's beautiful.
I do nice things for her. She was topless in the new 300.
She's topless in a lot of stuff.
I mean. I haven't seen the original 300, but I'll watch it. I'll
she's
watch
beautiful.
You should see
and
the original one
actress.
Because...
she's beautiful. 35?
You should see the original one.
I highly recommend Penny Dreadful, which I avoided and then got into late... And just completely binged. So good. And you wouldn't think of it because Josh Hartnett. But it's actually quite good and he does a good job.
I like Josh Hartnett quite a bit. He disappeared for a number of years.
Yeah, and that's... I didn't...
At the end of the original Sin City, he disappeared, never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
He took 40 days and 40 nights. He's just been not Jay Owen and not working until recently.
Is Shannon Sossaman working on anything nowadays?
She's been... I don't know. No, wait. She was just in a show, I feel like.
Because when I think 40 Days, 40 Nights, I think of the Heath Ledger era, and she was in everything with Heath Ledger.
Yeah, and she was great in that one thing.
That was the weird name for a movie. Oh, Night's Tale, yeah.
Oh, the show, the movie that's literally always on TV?
Always. Yeah. The residuals for that must be insane.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing Man Without a Sleepy Hollow TV series.
The Man Without a Sleepy Hollow.
The Man Without a Sleepy Hollow with Mel Gibson.
She was in Sinister 2. She was in Wayward Pines.
Sinister.
You've listed the three things I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Congratulations on finding the only three things I haven't seen. Apparently, I'm anti Shannon Sossaman. Although I was in a show with her, sort of.
Yeah, what movie?
Is that why you're anti?
Moonlight.
Oh, with Nicolas Cage?
No. I'm really good at being in things that if you Google, there's other versions of it, and people usually find that one instead.
That's Moonlighting, I think. Moonlighting.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Bruce Willis was in this vampire show. It was actually a big deal. Don't know why we were
Wait, that's told. Bruce Willis. What was the...
Wasn't he on a show, Moonlighting?
That was Moonlighting. That was Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Fantastic Sybil Shepherd.
What was Nick Cage in... Cher.
Nick Cage and Cher.
Moonstruck.
Oh, Moonstruck.
Moonstruck.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my parents used to love that one. Moonstruck. For some reason, that reminds me of my childhood. That and Daryl. My grandpa loved Daryl. You don't remember Daryl?
No. Is it a movie?
Oh, yeah. Kid who's a robot, gets adopted by a family. It's like a prototypical
version of Chappie.
Yeah. With the kid who was in all of the movies in the
80s. I am Daryl. I am alive.
It was like Short Circuit, but with a boy.
Michael McKean? No, he was the kid. Michael McKean.
Michael McKean's been in everything.
Kid,
He's done other stuff. Wasn't he Flight of the Navigator kid?
No.
He wasn't? Maybe. I think he was.
Click his face.
I can't find his name.
You're on IMDb.
I know, but I'm trying to find... It doesn't have the kid's name on here.
I would look under Daryl.
Was he the kid?
He was Daryl.
He was Daryl?
Yeah.
Then he's like on the very bottom. Oh, there we go.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Barrett Spencer Oliver.
Sad that I didn't know that.
He was in Cocoon. He was in The NeverEnding Story.
He played the Cocoon.
Atreyu! He was in Frankenweenie, the original Frankenweenie.
Oh.
1984 Frankenweenie.
But was he Flight of the Navigator? Was he the Navigator? Or was he the captain? Compliance!
No. The Navigator was Paul Rubens.
What?
That was Pee Wee Herman. Was the voice of the Navigator.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the kid who was in Flight of the Navigator. That wasn't him?
Negative.
Who was the kid in Flight of the Navigator? David.
David R. Navigator.
David R. Navigator. It was meant to be.
I'm surprised they haven't rebooted that movie.
Don't give them ideas. I'm trying to pitch it. Yeah. No, not really.
You're as the adult, David.
If they do Last Starfighter, I better freaking be the Starfighter, though.
Yeah, you and every actor says
If they...
You and every 30-year-old actor says, I want to be the new Starfighter.
As soon as I ended up on a sci-fi show, and I say... even once in an episode, I was like, hey, guys, I haven't done a reference to movies and television in a while. Do you mind if I put one into this scene? And they're like, go ahead. I'm like, great, I'm going to say Last Starfighter, because that's what this whole character is to me. I am the Last Starfighter.
Joey Kramer? Yep.
That ruins my childhood. Joey Kramer. He sounds like he also runs an Italian joint on the east side.
Oh, was he in It's My Party? Was he an uncredited party guest?
He was only in six things.
Was he an uncredited party guest in It's My Party?
He was in Flight of the Navigator. He was in the Clan of the Cave Bear.
Oh, really?
He was in Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. He was Flight of the Navigator in 1986. He was in two episodes of Murder, She Wrote. He was on a TV movie, Stone Fox, in 1987. Then he wasn't in something. He was in It's My Party as an uncredited guest.
Oh, my God. He was the uncredited guest from It's My Party from 1986?
I can't believe you recognize
him. Oh, my gosh.
You kind of wonder the story of, like, those kid actors sometimes and that are in...
That's what scares me.
That are in movies, when like, that are in movies that are so huge to our childhood.
They never really
and
were.
And they don't do anything.
But no, but that's what scares me. Aisha Tyler came on my podcast, Out of the Blue. Everyone should listen to it. She came on my podcast and she said, you know, I've noticed something in this town, and it still terrifies me to this day. She said, there's three types of people. There's the people who never make it. There's the people who have one big thing and they never work again. And there's people who work forever.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm just terrified that I'm the guy who was like one big thing and I'm never going to work again. He was one of the ones who had one big thing and just disappeared.
When I first started working in Nerdist, the our biz dev guy, our business development guy, was actually the kid from Kramer versus Kramer.
Get on a top.
Yeah.
Did he only quit acting because he wanted to, or he just couldn't anymore?
I don't think he wanted to. I think he just did that.
See, I respect that.
I think he did that when he was a kid, and then he was just like, I want to do other stuff.
Supposedly, like, a kid on Modern Family or something like that, just is like, I don't really want to act, but he's still, you know, still making money doing it.
Yeah. The Jack Gleason, who plays King Joffrey on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he quit.
Yeah, he did that, but he's like, no, I just want to go to university and, like, study biology.
I mean, but some people make their way back. Like Natalie Portman, I don't know if she was quitting, but she stopped to go to school and get her master's and be beautiful and amazing and awesome.
Yeah.
And then she came back to
I feel like a lot of folks like that sometimes they'll be like, well, you know what? I always enjoyed this, but I want to take a break, some time for me. And then, you know, the real world kind of sucks. They're like, you know what? I actually did enjoy that. Maybe I should pursue this again.
Yeah, that's what I've done. I've just taken a 3-year hiatus because I wanted to study my PlayStation.
Yeah.
that's all I've been doing.
3 or 4?
Hiatus?
PlayStation.
Oh, PlayStation. Like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, I was just like, dude.
I have a PS3 and an Xbox 360 and now an Xbox One.
Nice. Okay.
But I play mostly on the 360. The PS3 is just kind of for Blu-ray. Although I did play Journey and it was awesome.
Journey's fantastic.
Yeah. So good. I need to play Battlefront. I haven't.
Battlefront is also fantastic.
There's no story mode.
Yeah. You don't need a story mode.
Yeah, you do. I want to play a 15 hours and 18 hours and a 22-hour story.
That's never what Battlefront was about.
But it should... I agree. I want to be able to do single player, but then I end up doing mostly multiplayer. It's kind of weird to not... It's still fun because of the multiplayer, but it really makes me miss it. There's no way they could have because they're so focused on making a movie, which takes up story.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing from that game is something similar to Galactic Conquest, which was just a loose way of adding a metagame and gamifying the experience between all the matches. Battlefront was never about a campaign or story mode. There's so many other games for that. Replay, Knights of the Old Republic, or literally anything else.
Knights of the Old Republic is the best game ever. However, I am going to say that my friend Todd Stashwick is currently one of the writers of the new Star Wars game that will be coming out in
awesome.
Years.
Is this the one that Amy Hennig?
It's him and her.
That's what a great duo.
Just that alone, I'm going to play it. But the fact that it's going to be a story Star Wars is going to be amazing.
I'm just hoping it can, like, something can just come along that looks as good as 1818 did before it was unceremoniously canceled. It was they unveiled it at E3 2014, and it looked like you were going to be playing a bounty hunter. Like it was going to be like a gritty action game. Mm-hmm. Like in the underworld of Coruscant and all those,
awesome.
Yeah, looks
as
great.
As long as it's not, and I loved the game, but as long as
or
it's 1313, like,
excuse me, not 1818.
As long as it's not like Mass Effect, which I love, but if I have to run through the damned Citadel one more time, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. I want to
tell
game
me more about the
to,
specters.
Yeah, it's just like, oh god, like, oh, of course, this person I need something from is on the other side of the Citadel.
Yep.
As a non gamer, has Fallout lived up to the hype?
I actually haven't played it yet.
Yes. They have made substantive changes from the old games. Some stuff they took out I was not a fan of, but other stuff they added and changed is so much better. It's just like, how was this not a feature before? I think the biggest thing is that in Fallout, you can pick up pretty much anything. You can just take something, like you find a burned book. You can take that with you. You can't read it, but you can take it with you. Previously,
and standing
it was
over just, is Hitler.
Yeah.
Ah,
previously, it was just dead weight. But now you can, like, break it down into component parts and use it to craft other things. You can
turn what is
it,
Minecraft? What?
Yeah, pretty much. They added a crafting element to it.
Oh, see, now I know I can't play it because Minecraft might disappear for
it's
months.
It's so addictive. It's so good.
No, that's not good. Minecraft screwed my world up.
Well, you'll be getting your money's worth
for
$60.
Well, Dave, we were going to cast you for the last Starfighter, but we couldn't get a hold of you.
No, you really won't. One day I was like, I'm going to go out and meet some friends, but first I want to work on this one thing in my house on top of a hill. And then I woke up like 20 hours later. I had missed everything entirely, but I had built a working shower.
Hey.
And this is inside a video game.
In a video game.
Sometimes it's all you can ask for.
It's just like, this is not safe for me. I need to stay. This is why I don't game as much as I should, because they disappeared.
Yeah. I have that. I have that. Like, I, Jessica Jones, I binge watch, because I have that. I have an addictive personality when things are right in front of me. Like, video games like that, the last, I played 4 video games in a matter of 10 years.
Don't take
Portal
1,
Portal 2, Batman Portal. Arkham Asylum, and Batman Arkham City, and I played those, like, all the way through.
Yeah.
In, like, 15 to 18 hours or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Portal 1 and 2 I love, but I feel like, if you had to, you could finish a level in Portal and put it on pause and walk off, especially multiplayer.
That's why I like Battlefront, because you can just pick it up for half an hour to an hour, then put it down, go about your day, come back later.
Although I went over to actually Todd Stashwick's house and we played the other day, and since the beta, it was my first time playing. Mm-hmm. I prefer the shooting and the FPS of it all. Riding the bikes was awesome, but I don't know how you don't die. I just kept running into trees. I didn't survive more than 30 seconds any round.
Just need to get your license.
apparently I'm a bad speeder bike driver.
Just need to take a safety course.
I'm the guy in the movie, just like,
hey, that's an important part of the movie.
Yeah.
You're doing valuable service.
I'm not going to get cast in Star Wars because I just said that.
Not yet. Not yet. Until they do the spinoff where it's just speeder bike chase.
I'll be in Star Wars 35, the speeder
the
bike
fast
challenge.
And the Furious. The Force and the Furious.
Ride or die.
It's about family.
Wow. Midichlorians.
Dave, where can everybody find you on the internet, and where can they listen to your show and watch you and all of that type of thing?
My podcast, which everyone should listen to and tell all your friends about and comment on, is called Out of the Blue. It's on iTunes and geeknation.com. You can also find links via my Twitter, which is @DavidBlue. Also my Instagram, David_Blue. My website, David-Blue. It's David Blue with some sort of variation in between the two names. And then, all that stuff is there. Also, I'm an actor, and look out for stuff I've been in and watch it over and over again and give me money.
Awesome.
Great.
Do that. Once again, hey, let's do the thing. Our on iTunes, we have like 44 comments or something like that. Let's do it. Let's just play a game here. And at least 20 of you listening right now, go and leave a comment and see if we can get to like 60 or 70 comments, brand new comments.
Reviews
and reviews,
or
both. Reviews. Okay. Do like some new reviews. See if we can get to like maybe 70 reviews and comments on iTunes, because iTunes, to get back on the charts and to get on their charts, they do a thing with
the
like
algorithm change.
They have a weird algorithm with like new comments and reviews and all that. So if everybody listening could go to iTunes and just give us a quick review and leave a comment about how much you like the show or how much you dislike the show, that'd be awesome.
It'll take literally seconds.
Yeah, it'll be like seconds. So if you could do that on your phone or on your computer, either or, we would appreciate that. Then you can follow us on Twitter, TWL Podcast. Send us an email, todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. My name is Razzle, too. Follow me on Instagram. My name is Razzle.
You can find me across different social media channels @osteoferocious. And you can also find my books, 100 Things Star Wars Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever fine books are sold. And I'm going to be having a couple signings coming up soon, so keep your eyes on my Twitter for that. I'll be tweeting out all the locations and pertinent details. Oh, and I have a Facebook author page, so if you can find it in your heart to like that, I would be super appreciative. Anyway, that's all for now.
I'm so out of the know. I don't even know what a Facebook author page is.
It's just like a fan page or like a page. It's just for where I promote my professional endeavors, so I don't piss everyone off on my personal feed.
Oh, like I do?
I still do it, but I'm trying. You know, these are the people that I haven't friended.
Fair enough.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. Everybody do that. And have a great day, and do everything David said, and follow him, and tell everybody to listen to this show, and leave those comments, and we appreciate it. And as always,
oh yeah, get swifty.
I already am.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.